Call this meeting to order. This is the regular session of the Mayor and Council of the City of Bisbee, County of Cochise, and State of Arizona to be held on Tuesday, June 19th, 2018, at 7:00 p.m. in the Cochise County Board of Supervisors Hearing Room, 1415 Melody Lane, Building G, Bisbee, Arizona. Ms. Coronado, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Anna Klein.
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Frank Davis. Mayor David M. Smith.
Here.
Councilmember Bill Higgins.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Douglas Dunn.
Here.
Councilmember Gabe Lindstrom.
Here.
City staff, Robert Smith, City Manager, Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, Carrie Bagley, Finance Director, Daniel Duchon, Personnel Director, Andy Heratic, Public Works Director, Albert Echave, Police Chief, George Castillo, Fire Chief, Elder Orduño, City Attorney.
Thank you. For our moment of silence, I'd like us all to reflect on how lucky we are to be in Bisbee, Arizona, and all of the positive things that are happening in our community. Thank you. Would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Welcome. Please be seated. Under Mayor's announcements, I'd like to ask the Police Chief to come forward and provide an announcement, an important announcement. Thank you.
Mayor, members of the council, and members of the public, I just want to come up and remind everybody of the up-and-coming Coaster Race event that's going on for the 4th of July and has for some time now. The Saturday immediately before the Coaster Race is always a practice run down Tombstone Canyon. We won't be removing any cars off of Tombstone Canyon, but there will be no vehicle traffic allowed between the hours of, I believe it's 7 and 10 on Saturday. We do post flyers, much like this one, on every car all the way up and down Tombstone Canyon, starting about 2 weeks before the event, up until the 4th of July. There's also no parking on Burry Gulch, the big parking lot directly behind the Stock Exchange and in front of St. Elmo's on the 4th of July. So I'm trying to get word out to as many people as possible because we don't want to have to tow anybody's car. And we, as I said, the papers have been notified, they have the notice, but I want everybody to be aware, and I'll give a copy to the clerk as well.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Call to the public. We have 3 people signed up. Mr. Brad Edwards. I'm glad to hear that, Mr. Edwards. It's full of money, I realize.
So in regarding the 2 subjects that I wanted to speak on, one was in regard to the demolition of the city hall, the shell of the city hall. I might have got along with a meeting if I'd been, if I'd had the opportunity to go to a meeting. I'm not an expert on a lot of these things, and perhaps the information that was discussed at the meeting might have been worthwhile. Although I do have some criticisms of how stampeded I think that the decision was to go ahead and demolish the city hall based upon the opinion of one firm of structural engineers. I think that in the case of a serious medical condition, it's a good idea to have a second opinion. I think a second opinion would be good here. But I might have gone along with the meeting. What I'm really most concerned with is that I never had the opportunity to go along with a meeting. One thing that's in my laptop here are email messages for the last 3 months from Nina Williams giving the agendas of the special sessions, work sessions, regular sessions, of all of them. And none of those did I see anything about agendas where the demolition of the city hall was discussed. I don't know why it wasn't present in there. Fred Miller says that apparently it was there when I was talking with him. But I didn't see anything myself, and I think that what I'm most concerned about was just the fact that I was not given an opportunity to attend any of those meetings at a time when they were being held on that particular subject. Apparently, according to what Fred said, he wasn't sure it was a special session or a work session, but he thought it was one or the other. So anyway, that's what I'm mostly concerned about. I think that we need to have a process in this city right now where people are not deprived of information about discussions of special issues at a time, in a timely way where they could participate in those issues. So those are the particular things. As far as going back again to what my input would have been in a meeting that we had on the demolition of the City Hall, I have emails that I sent to the Observer and to the Review Herald that might be published. I'm not sure if they're going to, but I have copies of that letter on a USB chip that I would like to have transcribed by Nina or Ashley into the minutes for this meeting. Since I don't have enough time to go through the entire letter, I would like to have that subscribed or transcribed. Do I need your permission to be able to do that?
We'll need to. I don't know that the clerk's going to be able to do that, but we'll make sure that it's done some way, Mr. Edwards.
Okay, I'll go ahead and get the USB chip, and she can put that into her computer, maybe in a Word pad or a notepad file, so that it can be copied out if necessary. If not, then that
will we'll figure out a way to get that attached, sir.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Donna Pulling? Welcome, Ms. Pulling.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I'm here to speak about two things to you. The first being I'd like to draw your attention to a section in the Charter regarding the recording of Council meetings. And it's under Section 14.08, Council meetings to be recorded. All meetings of the Bisbee City Council, unless legally exempt, shall be broadcast on local access channels upon availability and video recorded for the permanent record. There's been some discussion about this on social media of people not having access to meeting content unless a private citizen decides to come in with their telephone to video it. So I'm hoping that maybe that can be rectified so that more people can be informed about what's going on at the City Council meetings. The second thing I'd like to speak to you about is the herbicides that are being sprayed on Bisbee Road. There also has been a number of people that have expressed their concerns about the use of the herbicides with this repaving project with Tucson Asphalt, and I would like to read from the letter that was given to the council from the city manager on April 10th. A portion of this letter reads, paragraph number 3, City of Bisbee Council did have a vote on 11-183 to prohibit the use of herbicides and pesticides in the City of Bisbee. And paragraph 4, the City Council has twice addressed the same issue since 1983, once in 2012 and once in 2017. His conclusion is, given the above, I have instructed staff to immediately cease and use the use of all pesticides and herbicides on municipal/public properties and municipal projects from this date forward. I have the letter and the contract from Tucson Asphalt charging the city for $896.52 for pre-emergent weed killer, and all weeds will have a pre-emergent sprayed approximately 1 week before paving is to begin, and I believe that happened this last week. There's a pre-emergent barrier 50W and glyphosate that will also be sprayed. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Cynthia Conway. Welcome, Ms. Conroy.
Thank you. Mayor and Council and public, nice to see you all. First time I've appeared in these lovely chambers. It's good to see so much blue out there. So I'm here to make some, they may not sound friendly, but they're friendly remarks. I hope they come across as friendly. I understand that I sometimes don't come across as friendly as I feel inside. So it appears to me that the council tonight is considering a decision, a kind of what I call cart before the horse, by an administration that sometimes apparently protects many of their decisions by offloading the responsibility to an outside expert. This isn't uncommon for governments and other people to do, but I just wanted to point it out. The responsibility whenever we bring in somebody else, so he said, they said, they voted, it's actually called, you know, offloading. And it's my understanding that the RFP was sought before the plan to restructure our debt. If this is true, then it arises a certain question, which is, will this consultant be instructed or asked to research how much more or how much less, how much lower or how much higher our sewer fees will be? The city manager is told, I think I've read in the papers, that part of the restructuring, besides saving us in a big way, will mean that our fees will not go up. However, there are others of us who lived through the last voter-approved bond, where our sewer fees were also explained to us that they would not go up, and they almost doubled. So, that's my question. My question is, how do we know, and what's the consultant going to be instructed to do? So, there are voters who are asking me, and of other people, I guess, why our city manager, new, hired for his above-average expertise, has employed consultants frequently, well, maybe not frequently, in this case, let's just, this case, is looking at a consultant. And the timeliness of it is, as I've already referred to, we don't know, to look at a rate structure now before we know whether or not we're getting a restructure of debt, whether or not the mayor's amnesty programs are verifiably having a positive effect with the collection of monies as well as changing the habits of how and why people pay. So we don't have enough information, and maybe even some talented citizens could have a meeting, like the last person who was up here suggested regarding the demolition of City Hall. We have so many talented people, as we know, and when you look at questions that are observable, like tearing down a building.
Thank you, ma'am. That's great. Your time.
Okay, thank you. So hopefully we'll
thank you, ma'am.
Have some
that's your
consideration
time.
By everyone who votes.
Accounts payable.
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $184,953.17.
We have a motion. We have a second. Do we have comments, questions? Ms. Klein.
On page 6, and I left my glasses in the car, so it's going to take me a minute to.
All right.
On the under fire expense on page 6, it's the structural concepts that for the engineering service.
Yes.
And it's $2,000, and I know it's under the $5,000, but what company is this? What did they do? Was it for looking at City Hall or what?
I believe, since I didn't employ them, I do believe that that was for City Hall, and I believe that they are a state contractor.
Is that correct, Mr. Smith? City Manager Smith?
I have to defer to finance. I don't have those details.
Or to Public Works if they know. Mr. Hraddick?
Yes, it's for, this was the condition review of the remaining exterior walls of City Hall. So this was the engineering company that we brought in. It's the same company, anyway, this is the engineering company that we brought in to do the core drilling to tell us about the condition of the building. And the amount is under an amount that we need to take forward to mayor and council. It's an amount that we may spend on these projects in-house. Now, I can't verify, I don't have all the paperwork with me to verify that they are a state contractor. So before I say that, I don't have that sheet of paper that we hand in with these requests with me. So I don't want to state that until I can verify it.
Okay. And I, you know, like I said, I do realize that it's under the limit, but I just think as a courtesy, perhaps mayor and council should know, just for informational purposes, so we know.
Okay. Thank you.
And then I guess this next one is for you as well, Mr. Hraddick. On page 8, there's something there for jumping castles and water slides for about $1,300.
Yes, this is for our annual 4th of July Water World event that we have at the park.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if it was for 4th of July because it doesn't...
Well, you know, he holds out on us. If we don't pay him ahead of time, he gives him to Sierra Vista, so we got to pay ahead of time on. So he needs the money ahead of time. It'd be nice to do it on the 4th, bill it afterwards, but we have to pay for it ahead every year, so.
Okay, and it does say final payment. So was there multiple payments, or will there be multiple payments, I should ask, or is this just one?
That's the first, there is another payment that we pay for the total amount at the end of the event.
Okay, so what will the total be?
I don't have that in front of me, so I can't tell you accurately what that would be.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay, I will indicate that in shopping local this last period, the city spent $13,185 on the amount that we're hopefully going to approve on local people, local stores and merchants. Anything else? All those in favor of paying accounts payable, signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carried unanimously. Moving on to the consent agenda, items A through H, approval of the minutes of the special session of mayor and council held on April 25th, 2018 at 6:15 p.m. B, approval of the minutes of the work session of mayor and council held on April 18th, 2018 at 6:30 p.m. C, approval of the resignation of Ken Budge from the Board of Adjustment. D, approval of the recommendation from the Parks and Recreation Committee to dismiss Luti Giacomino from the Parks and Recreation Committee due to in excess of 3 unexcused absences. E, approval of the appointment of Ken Budge to the Civil Service Commission. F, approval of the park facility and right-of-way use permit for the use of Cole Avenue, Bisbee Road, and Arizona Street for the 4th of July parade on Tuesday, July 4th, 2018, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Bisbee Rotary Club applicant. G, approval of the park facility and right-of-way use permit for the use of Brewery Gulch for the 4th of July hard rock drilling and mucking events. Dominique Moots, applicant. H, approval of a special event liquor license application submitted by Bisbee Vogue, Inc. for an event to be held at St. Patrick's Church, located at 100 Quality Hill Road, Bisbee, Arizona, on Saturday, October 20th, 2018, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., Cynthia Conroy, applicant. Council, does anybody wish any of these pulled for discussion? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the consent agenda, items A through H.
Thank you. Do we have a second? We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda A through H signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried unanimously. New business. Presentation by the Utility Service Partners Private Label Inc., DBA, Service Line Warranties of America regarding sewer line warranty. Mr. Andy Heratic, Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. You have a folder, each of you have a folder in front of you. I want to say that City Manager Smith first came to the city, one of the first things I approached him about was the incessant mail I was getting from APS demanding that I sign up for insurance for a line warranty. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, for that $42 a month, which was more than my electric bill, why can't we become an insurance company and underwrite this kind of thing in our own city? And the city manager explained to me how complicated that was and that there was a program available through the national, through the League of Cities. So I'm really happy, and it's taken us some time to get this together, so we've been working on this basically since about 30 days after Mr. Smith showed up. But tonight I'm really happy to introduce Ashley Schwarzky from Service Lines of America, and again, I want to let you know that this is sponsored by the League of Cities. So Ashley, if you'd like to come up and explain your details to us.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me here this evening. As Andy said, my name's Ashley Schwarzky, and I represent the National League of Cities Service Line Program. Our Service Line Program is the only one that's endorsed by the National League of Cities, but also here in Arizona by the League of Arizona Cities and Towns as well. The company, though, that I actually work for is called Utility Service Partners, and we administer this program. And we are a Better Business Bureau business with an A-plus rating, as well as we did win the Torch Award for Marketplace Ethics from the Better Business Bureau. So that is something that we're very proud of and are always striving to maintain that high level of ethical standards while conducting business. But what our program really is designed to do is to help address the public policy issue of our aging infrastructure. We know that communities like yours all across the United States really have been doing their part to either upgrade or maintain their public infrastructure, but the homeowners portion of these lines were kind of being forgotten about. So that's actually why the National League of Cities went out and did research. They wanted to make a program like ours readily and easily available to cities and towns all across the United States. So they went out, did the research on your behalf, and we were the company they chose to provide this program. So what we would do is we would partner with the city in order to make our completely optional program available to your residents. And we provide homeowners with protection on their external water or well lines, sewer or septic lines, as well as their in-home plumbing. And we provide these services with a complete turnkey approach for the city where we handle all the aspects of the program, the marketing, the billing, the claims management, and customer service. And there is absolutely no cost to the city if you choose to participate in the program, and the city would receive an incremental revenue stream for their participation as well. What I always find to be the biggest benefit of our program is that it just simply helps to raise awareness. Pretty much every community that I speak with, I hear the same thing, that if a resident does have some sort of issue on their external line, typically their first call is to someone here. I'm sure Andy gets a lot of those calls. And then you all end up sending someone out using your time and dollars only to determine that the issue is on the homeowner's portion of that line. And then that resident is left footing this large bill that they either thought may have been covered by the city or their homeowner's insurance. So that's really why I always think of our program as a free public awareness campaign, because all of the residents would receive a letter in the mail from us letting them know that you all have partnered with us in order to make this program available to them. So that way, even if they choose not to enroll, at least they are well aware of what their service line responsibility is, and that the city really tried to take a proactive approach at helping to educate them of this. Also a huge benefit of our program is the peace of mind, because now a resident knows for just a few dollars a month, if they would like, they're able to transfer the risk of these lines onto us, a company that's not only endorsed by the National League of Cities, but also the League of Arizona Cities and Towns. And then that way, if they have an issue, they just make one call to us, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and we would dispatch a local licensed plumber or contractor to do the repair. So that is a huge benefit of our program, that we only use local area contractors for all of our work. And we do that for many reasons, but mainly we want to keep as much money here within your local economy as possible. But also your local contractors are familiar with your local codes and will make sure to do the work up to our standards as well as yours, which includes to get all of the proper permits for the work. And what happens is if we were to partner with Bisbee, we would begin to develop a contractor network that would specifically service your claims. And you all can be as much or as little involved in that process as you would like, where some of our partners provide us a list of contractors that they are familiar with, already working with, or that may be well known within your area, and some want to stay out of it as much as possible. Either way works for us, but with all of our contractors, we go through a detailed vetting process where we make sure that they are licensed, they have the proper amount of insurance, they don't have any type of open complaints with the Better Business Bureau, but we also conduct background checks and drug screenings, because we always want to make sure that it's someone that one of your residents feel completely comfortable with coming to their home as well as inside of their home. And as for our coverage, we do offer three completely separate and voluntary programs. We offer an external water line coverage, which would cover any well lines, external sewer line coverage, which would cover any septic lines, as well as an in-home plumbing. Our two external products are pretty much set up identically, where we begin to cover those lines wherever they become a homeowner's responsibility, all the way to where they enter in the home. So that way, if a resident is having an issue, whether it's a broken, a cracked, a leaking pipe, a tree root issue, a clog that needs cleared out, anything that would impede the flow of those lines, they give us a call, we send out one of those local plumbers, and what they receive for their coverage is up to $8,500 towards each and every repair incident. So this is something that greatly separates us from other companies out there, is that ours is always on a per incident basis. So we never have an annual or a lifetime limit, as well as we never limit the number of incidents or claims that a homeowner can have in a calendar year. So again, it's always up to that $8,500, as well as we never have a service fee or deductible, because we would not want, you know, that $50 or $100 service fee to actually deter a resident from giving us a call and getting their issues taken care of. And then lastly, for our third product, that one is the in-home plumbing. And this really was developed by request of our current municipal partners, as it kind of was the missing piece of the puzzle. And this covers any of the water, sewer, or drain lines that are actually in the home after the point of entry that either may be broken or leaking. It also includes any lines that could be embedded in a slab or a basement floor, as well as coverage for the repair of clogged toilets. And this is very similar, where there's never a service fee or deductible, no annual or lifetime limit, never a limit on number of claims that someone can have in a calendar year, and for the in-home plumbing, it's always up to $3,000 towards each and every repair incident. And a feature of our program is actually the revenue portion for the city. So what the city does receive in return for their partnership with us is 50 cents per month per paid warranty contract. So essentially, if a resident did choose to enroll in all three products, the water, sewer, and the in-home plumbing, then you all could receive up to $1.50 per month per household. And that is paid to you in the form of a revenue every January. And a lot of our partners do different things with this. Obviously, anyone could do anything that they like, and some just put it into the general fund. But also, some of our partners have used it to help residents that may be having trouble paying a utility bill from month to month. I know some use it to either pay their state league or National League of Cities dues, and one helps to pay for their annual fall festival. So it's really however you see fit. And then lastly, I know the big thing everyone always wants to know is how we market our program. So we only ever market by direct mail. So you never have to worry about us door-to-door or anything like that. We standardly have 2 to 3 mail campaigns per calendar year. And they are normally in the spring, the fall, and the winter. The reason why we have these multiple campaigns is because we offer multiple products. Typically, our marketing letter is geared towards one product at a time, and we do this to limit confusion. We always want a homeowner to know that these are separate, they don't have to choose any of them or any combination of them. So we standardly do keep the marketing to one at a time, but that never deters a resident from giving us a call or going to our website and choosing whichever, if any, that they would like at any time. Also, we never mail that letter out unless we do have your review and approval prior. So before each and every mail campaign, we send you a digital copy of that marketing letter for your review and approval. We always want you to have input on that message as well as know exactly what your residents are receiving. And if for some reason we do not receive the approval, we never mail to your residents for that campaign. So you always have complete control on if and when one of those letters do go out. And to give you an idea of kind of what it looks like, the beginning really is that educational piece, letting a resident know what their service line responsibility is. But then it's an introductory letter where the city would be introducing the program to its homeowners. But it does clearly state we're a separate company providing this, as well as it's always optional. It does go out with the city's either logo or letterhead. That way your residents know that this is the program you're participating in. But the bottom of it has all of our information, our logo, our phone number, so they call us with any questions or to sign up. Same thing with our website. There's lots of good information on there. Or they can enroll right on our website, or they can return the bottom of the form right to us. So really, the city's involvement in the program is just that introductory piece. But once someone chooses to enroll, all of the correspondence is between us and them. We know you have more than enough going on here, so we handle the marketing, the billing, the claims, and the customer service. And just to give you an idea, we are now partnered with over 550 communities all across the United States, and that does include 27 partners here in Arizona, and they're all listed in there for you. And I know I've just rambled on, so I'm sure you all may also have some questions for me as well.
I have a quick question. The sewer line coverage isn't dependent on length of that sewer line?
It does not. Because of our partnership, we're able to offer that same coverage for everyone within the community.
Okay. My neighbor has a run of 300 feet before it hits the city. And I have a run of 100.5 or something. So that's why I was wondering.
Yeah.
And that's $88 a year.
Correct. Yeah. Wow. It's $775 a month. So, yes.
Okay. Questions, Council?
Is this retroactive? I just replaced my water line last month.
Nice try. it would have been a little less expensive for you, would it?
We do have peculiar situations in Bisbee, which I'm sure that Mr. Hradic has shared with you, and that is that often lines come on, are served from one private property to another. For example, that my neighbor's gas line is served from my property.
Okay.
And I think that's common with several different utilities. And how, I mean, is that a situation that you have encountered in other communities, and how that be addressed? If my neighbor had a problem, was a subscriber and had a gas problem, and yet it's serviced off of my property.
Do you know, is that the same situation for water and sewer lines as well?
No, but I think in sewer, the sewer lines go across private property.
Okay.
I think that's...
Water meters are also on other people's property.
Okay. So we'll cover that line wherever it's the resident's responsibility. My question was, are they shared service lines, or it just goes across their property?
They're shared. I mean,
well
I shouldn't say shared.
Yeah.
All this stuff, you guys. Ashley, and if you look at the list of cities in the brochure, you'll see there's some cities that were built by the same mining company our city was built by. So we have sewer mains, and there may be the laterals. There may be five or six laterals on that main that all connect, but they're all individual.
Okay.
And it's all covered. It's all
okay.
Part of what you guys do.
Correct.
And then there's points where sometimes those lines aren't ours because there's three people connected on them. But
okay.
It's...
Yeah, that's no problem.
Yeah, it's everything you talk about.
As long
about.
As they have a, you know, they're separate.
They are separate. And the day I find that I've got three houses or two houses on one line, I have a different problem. That's actually my problem. Anyway, but I
yes.
don't know of any of those issues with sewer
okay.
in that case.
Okay.
Anything else, Council? Any other?
Well, it is an interesting situation. I mean, in my case, the gas line comes into my property and then it elbows off to the neighbors. And, of course, there's a meter on where it hits the neighbor's house. But certainly that
his line and my line come through my property. So, I mean, it is...
Of course, that's Southwest Gas.
Correct.
Yeah, that's they don't cover gas.
Did you say gas?
No, water and sewer.
Oh, okay, pardon me. Pardon me. I'm raising an issue that...
No problem.
Pardon me.
Anything? Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Item number 4, discussion of possible approval of an engagement letter with Wildan Financial Services Economist.com for a sewer rate study. Council has this went out to an RFP, and you'll note that Wildan was the least expensive at $19,000. The next one was $23,000, not to exceed $25,000, and the last one was, when we added up, I think it's $25,365. And obviously the rate study is being looked at to see if we are in line, which many of us believe we're not. We believe we're too expensive. And it's being looked at for a professional that does this rate study to come in and look at it versus what we've been doing in the past and basically licking our finger and holding it up to the wind to decide how much to charge. And so with that, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. We determined early last year, after looking at the financials and the performance of the wastewater enterprise, that we needed to take a look at rates. As the mayor said, we hadn't gone through a thorough analysis or had an outside party, non-biased outside party, look at our rates in quite some time. I believe that Mr. Jackson is familiar with our system in our city. I believe he's done this for us before. And if you look back, I think it was 09 maybe that he went through this exercise with us. In January, staff brought the concept forward to council for council's consideration and provided materials from Mr. Jackson about the work that we would propose to have done. We went through the request for proposal process, and Mr. Jackson's response was the most competitive and the lowest cost. He's identified the services that he would provide, and staff would request that council authorize the engagement letter so we could begin this work. Now that we have the budget complete and we have details coming in on the debt's restructuring for the wastewater plant, we believe, and Mr. Jackson believes, that we have accurate and enough information to move forward with creating a rate schedule. Our sincerest hope is that not only can we create a reduction in sewer fees, but we can also publish and adopt a rate schedule that spans 10 years. We would like to create a very stable, very flat rate structure that the citizens of Bisbee can enjoy and know that they won't see surprises in that enterprise. So staff's requesting that council approve the engagement of Mr. Jackson for this work.
Thank you, sir. Questions, Council? Ms. Klein.
I've got a concern here that the balance in the line item is going to be almost $16,000 in the red.
Yes, ma'am. Carrie, could you speak to how we might pay for this so that the funds actually make it to Mr. Jackson?
I think we put it in wastewater operational expense since it's going to be for, excuse me, I'm having allergy problems, since we're, it's for the wastewater,
Their budget overall isn't over budget for the year, and I believe part of the work will be done this current fiscal year and some next year, so it will be split over the 2 years depending on when the work is done. So it shouldn't cause the wastewater budget to exceed its budget this year or next year, the $17,000.
Thank you. Questions?
I guess I have a question about...
Yes, sir.
Why this has to happen, I guess, now? I know there's a lot going on with the wastewater. I guess that's my question. Why now?
Thank you, Mayor, Council, Councilman Lindstrom. Back in January, we discussed the benefits of going through this process, and that was to identify the lowest possible sewer rate that the city could muster for the citizens. And at the time, while council did approve Mr. Jackson for this work, we found that we needed to go through the RFP process to ensure that his response was competitive and effective. The short answer is it behooves the citizens for us to set the lowest rate we possibly can, and as soon as possible that we can bring that benefit to them, we need to do so. We have the ability to do that now, and after going through the refinancing, we have even better news, we think, to share. So in the interest of providing the citizens with the lowest possible rate, we think that we need to get this done.
So it's guaranteeing a lower rate?
No, it is not.
Questions?
Well, Mayor, just for clarification, that this will include the proposed refinancing of the wastewater treatment plant, which we've moved forward on, and that will be, you've shared some information with us here this evening, but what likely is going to be the case and what the cost is going to be in doing that, and that will be incorporated into this analysis. Likewise, the savings from the our settlement with individuals in terms of sewer debt, likewise, will be incorporated in this analysis.
Yes, sir. To date, it's our understanding we've received roughly $400,000 in cash from the amnesty program. I would say that we can't guarantee what result we would get. We don't know. But I can say that the existing rate structure, if it was built on the cash flow and the business model that existed when I came on board, the fact that we have reduced the debt in that enterprise should mean that we would pass that savings on to our customers. And we have access, we have the ability to do that. We need to find a rational basis for the amount of the sewer fees. We cannot guarantee that the prior analysis that was done in-house accommodated all of the issues associated with the enterprise, and we need to get to the bottom of that.
Also, Mayor, when we discussed this before, I raised questions about why aren't we doing this in-house, and certainly you convinced me that we needed a professional in terms of doing this as a major decision and not something that unfortunately, when they do it in-house, it often becomes a political decision, and I think we want to avoid that. And we have a professional come in and share his analysis with us, and helping us make this decision. Then,
did you say they did it in 09 or no? Did I mishear that?
I believe Andy. Do you, Mr. Raddick? Do you remember, was Dan Jackson here in 09? I think that they did the rate survey in 09.
That's what that sounded like.
My discussions with Dan have been about his familiarity with our plant and our process. I believe it happened in 09.
So what's the normal time frame that these kind of studies usually happen?
Well, I'd say under fairly stable economic conditions, you could get away with 7 to 10 years. A significant amount of change, though economically, would necessitate you looking at this more often. I think also, if you have this done properly and you have a plan in place, economic changes can be accommodated with modifications to the plan. So you don't necessarily have to go through all of the evaluation every time. But you definitely need a plan that incorporates all the elements of your local economy, at least from the perspective of how that affects the wastewater enterprise.
Any other questions?
I have another question. So does this stuff usually happen when you're, I mean, all at the same time? So we're having the sewer be evaluated, we're refinancing a loan. I mean, this all seems to be happening right at once and right at a critical time. Is this a normal time for this to be done?
Well, I think if financially your structure improves so that you can offer a reduction in rate to your community, pursuing that with diligence is something that the administration should be doing. We definitely believe that the work that we've done to reduce our debt payments will translate into lower sewer bills. We just don't know how much. And it makes sense to provide those lower bills to the community as quickly as we possibly could.
So the only way to lower the bills is to have somebody come in? So once we do the debt restructuring and we see that we're saving money, the only way to lower the bill is to have somebody come in and do it?
Well, we could decide what we want to charge for sewer, but I don't think that the analysis would be as accurate or well thought through as someone who does this for a business.
I'm just trying to think how long it would take to build up a sewer fee of $19,000 to every bill. If you almost just put $19,000 into the sewer fit bill, it just seems, seems counterintuitive a little bit.
I think we have about 3,500 sewer accounts, so it'd probably take about 3 months. Well, at 3,000 accounts, I think, four or five months worth of use. I mean, I don't think you're looking at a lot of time savings here when it comes to the aggregate amount.
Anything else? Do we have a motion? We have a motion, we have a second. Ms. Coronado, please.
Councilmember Klein?
Nay.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Davis?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Nay.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes 5-2. City Manager's report.
Mayor, I had two items for this evening. One was some information on the refinancing. We received RFPs back. I just have received final details this afternoon from Mr. Reeder. It appears that the most responsive proposal we received was at an interest rate of 3.814% for a 20-year term. It looks like the instrument is callable and could be prepaid if we so chose to do that. The way the restructuring affects us, we will see a savings this year of $643,000. That will be money that we will not have to pay towards the sewer debt that we normally would have. We will also see over the course of the next 7 years a reduction in our debt payments of $3.8 million. So combined, for the next 7 years, we will spend $4.5 million less on debt within the sewer plant. And this, of course, is the money that we would like Mr. Jackson to take a look at and see if we could use this towards lowering the city's sewer bills. The term on this would be 20 years. It would be a standard payment of about $550,000, which is half of what we're currently paying. And that amount would remain standard for 20 years. So it's very likely we could come up with a very long-term rate schedule based on these expenses. I had one other item I wanted to share with council. As we approach the end of the year, I thought it would be appropriate to offer some updates and a few thoughts. Across the last 5 years, the city of Bisbee's had 4 city managers, and across this last year, 30% of my time, of course, has been here as an interim manager. We experienced a catastrophic fire that destroyed City Hall, and much of our records and historic documents were destroyed. Since the fire, staff has led a somewhat nomadic life in a temporary environment, but we've been graciously supported by the county. And staff's overcome challenges and difficulties in trying to maintain regular services to the community. Despite all of that, across the last year and with council's guidance, we've made positive, tangible progress towards bringing the city of Bisbee into a sustainable financial operation. And for that, we owe staff an incredible debt of gratitude and acknowledgement. Within 48 hours of the City Hall fire, the entire administration was back up and running with no service outages, and I don't know that that's been accomplished anywhere else in Arizona. Further, our services, our community events, and public maintenance activities across this entire year were not compromised as we recovered from the fire. We had to reestablish records and recreate operational documents just for the current workload. The amnesty program is a pretty good example. We lost information in the fire, but we moved forward, reconstructed data, and made progress gathering an additional $400,000 from that effort. That was 30% of the outstanding past due balance. Facing arguably the most difficult financial circumstances in the city's history, the council and the staff came together and produced a budget that all of us understand, a budget that all of us support, and that all of us can work shoulder to shoulder with to overcome challenges this next year. Together, we also found a way to at least create a COLA for the first decade and try to make up for 5 years of frozen increases, at least for the non-salary personnel. The budget, the audit, and our records were all completed this year. They were all operational on time and within our expectations. Aside from being located at a different address, the citizens have seen little to no changes in services this year, but I do see the toll it's taken on staff. When you walk around our office, we look a little tired. We're a little cramped for space, and we're still making do with temporary solutions while we wait to find permanent space. But now there's something that's a little different. Every single one of us who work here has a spark of hope that we're going to be able to set things right and put the city on a stable financial path and work our way out of the messes that surfaced during and after the recession. After so many years of difficulty and controversy, reductions, layoffs, and cuts, we finally see a way to actually make some things work for the better and a way to change the community's attitude about its local government, a way for some pride to grow in our community. We've been working so hard because we really believe in what we're doing, and we believe it's the best possible thing we can bring to our community. And all of us on this team are working together to put our community first. So we launched a new budget process when it would have been easier just to rubber stamp the old one. We created a new relationship with the county, and as far as I know, new ideas in the state of Arizona to access better pricing and costs for vehicles, fuel, and maintenance, to get more for our taxpayers' money. We secured better financing for our sewer system, bringing over $4 million in relief to the city over the next 7 years. We now staff police and fire better to help minimize overtime and empower our staff to maintain important fire protection infrastructure. We also changed charge structures to gather more revenues from emergency services that are provided to non-city service areas. We're mid-discussion on the development of subscription-based protection services for some county residents, and that will further increase the city's revenues. Citywide, we've concluded initial research on existing service fees, and we're working to propose an updated schedule to the council. We deployed computerized payroll using software we already had to save time, and we launched electronic work ordering and a complaint system to give the public yet another way to help us address concerns in our community. The county just approved an IGA for the council to consider, where we'll gain access to additional code and building inspection expertise and manpower, all for the same cost that we've been budgeting to support Mr. Ward. We've rebuilt our HR records and process from the ground up, and we're creating a classification and compensation plan for our personnel so we can work towards becoming market competitive in our pay and our benefits. Paid time off, cash out, promotion, and internal hire procedures, policies are currently being drafted and will be brought to council for consideration soon. We've secured help from the Airport Commission to establish a third party to begin to grow the airport. And we've made arrangements for the airport to receive a grant that will upgrade the fuel depot to support jets. We offered and worked on a solution to the Naco Sonora sewage problem. And we have a way to facilitate discussion with the council over the sale of effluent if the city wants it. We're also in talks with the mine over recharging effluent into our aquifer to sustain our environment. We're auditing the wastewater treatment plant operation to ensure our processes and outcomes are continuously compliant with the state and the Fed, and our operation yields the best possible water for our environment. Detailed reporting on that will be available soon. Our library has expanded to offer satellite facilities at Melody Lane School, and we've launched a reading program to improve reading among young children in our community. The Science Center grant for feasibility analysis is ongoing, and our work with the mine to explore the creation of a foundation and expand tourism is moving forward. Our team has accomplished this and so much more despite years of frozen wages, the most meager budgets in recent history, uncertainty in management, and constant ill-informed criticism. Our team has done incredible things after watching our offices, our work, and our history burn to the ground. And we've done it all because we believe in what we're doing and because we care about our city. I think we all owe staff, we owe our team, the sincerest thanks and appreciation for their incredible service.
And with that, I would like to...
And thank you, Mr. Smith. I'd like this to be posted on the website, please. Ms. Coronado? Anything else, sir? Mr. Smith?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Lindstrom?
Yeah, just a couple things on, just a couple announcements. One, the library program for Allison and Jason. I think they're doing a great job, and my kids went last week, and they loved it. And there's a whole program, which I forgot to bring, but I have it on my phone, all through June and July. If you have young kids or even preteens, I think it's a, they're doing a great job. And then the Parks Committee on the 4th needs volunteers for the water and slides for the kids. So if you guys know anybody, please contact Andy with the Public Works and help them out a little bit if you can. That's it.
Right. Thank you. I'd entertain a motion.
I move that we adjourn.
A second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Those in favor of adjournment signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We stand adjourned. Thank you.